Happy Mother's Day. Max is with me today, my youngest. I'm so happy he's here. That's my Mother's Day present. He's here with me, and then we're going to do a picnic, because I don't know about you, but I avoid restaurants on Mother's Day. No. So we're going to go on a little picnic. Even if it's raining, we're just going to get wet. Doesn't matter, because we're together. So happy Mother's Day, really. Today, you know, we're continuing our series called Remember. How's communion going for you? I did a post on Facebook, and nobody replied. I got a little bit worried. That's all right. My confidence is still intact. But I was a little bit worried. I'm like, are they still with me? I don't know. How many did communion at least once at home this week? All right, way to go, that's awesome. I did it in my van on the trip. Thank you for letting me go last week. This time last week, I was getting ready to perform the wedding ceremony of my niece in South Carolina. Wow, had a great time there, but I came back tired, you know, because it was pretty busy. I was helping my sister get ready for the wedding. We did have a little 2 days at the beach after the wedding, but it was pretty fast. But we did have great weather. I mean, I've done communion in my van. I've done communion in my bed, on the sofa. Did it with my sister while we were at the beach. That was pretty fun. Praying together over our families. Something happened? No, maybe not. Maybe the air just turned off. and so it's been really meaningful for me. I hope it's been meaningful for you. Don't beat yourself up if you don't do it every day. Really. Just go for it. Just go for it. There's no condemnation or guilt, but it's been really cool to do that in different places together. It's been really powerful. So stay with that. Today, we're going to continue that series, Remember, with Remember the Heart of a Mom. The Heart of a Mom. And I intended to talk about several different moms in the Bible and what we can learn from their heart. But the more I prepared and the more I prayed, I felt like God said, no, just zero in on Mary, the mother of Jesus. Just zero in on her, because there's some good stuff about her that we can learn about the heart of a mom. And I tell you, I feel like, I'll just speak for us in the Protestant community, I don't think we give Mary enough honor, to be truthful. I don't feel like we give her enough honor. And I'm not saying to deify her, because I don't think that's the answer either. But I want to honor her. But here's what I need to remember. She was a human being. She was a human being that God poured out his favor on. And so what can we learn from her life about the heart of a mom? The very first thing I noticed is that she had a great humility and trust in God. Now, when I became a mom, when I found out I was pregnant, I wouldn't say I had a whole lot of humility. I had a lot of trust in God, but I had been in youth ministry for 9 years, and I had been a teacher for 8 years, a school teacher for 8 years, and so I thought I knew everything about being a mom. Yeah, right. And then I had him, they put him in my arms, my oldest, Rem, they put him in my arms, and I'm like, I cannot believe you are trusting me with him, and you're not even giving me an instruction manual. Like, if you buy a TV, you get an instruction manual, but they don't give you one for a baby? Like, I could not believe. But Mary had a great humility. As soon as she found out she was going to be a mom, this was her response in Luke 1:38. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And I think we just see a glimpse into a heart of a mom right there. You just have to get to the place where you relax into God. You rest into God a little bit. I think sometimes as moms, the old mom guilt gets us, you know, and we think, I got to do more. I got to be more. I got to do this. I got to do that. And I see in this that we just need to rest. Rest into God and let him lead us day by day. We also see, I love this part of Mary's story. We see awe of God's greatness. Mary was a worshiper. Remember when she went to visit with her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth said, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. My baby jumped in my womb when I encountered you because the Holy Spirit came, right? This was Mary's response. Luke 1:46-55. Notice how many times she recognizes God's greatness in this passage. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation." I love that she thinks generationally before she even has a baby. I love that. That's the heart of a mom right there. "To all who fear him, his mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." The heart of a mom has an ability to break out in worship, to break out in song at the strangest times. I remember when I was homeschooling my kids, let's see, Max was probably about 3 or 4 years old, and then Ethan was probably 5 or 6, right in there, and then that would make Rem about 11. And I was homeschooling them, and I loved homeschool. It was such a joy. It was a challenge, too. Remember the math meltdowns? Oh, they were bad. Because I would explain it in one way, and they didn't get the way I was explaining it, and that would frustrate me. And so I would say it again the same way, and they'd be like, "You just said that. Math is not my specialty. English is." And so, that math meltdowns, I called them. They were rough. But there were these moments that were scattered in between that were so beautiful to me. And I remember one that I was standing at the kitchen sink in a break of homeschooling, and I'm doing a few dishes, and I noticed a praying mantis on the outside of the screen. I'm like, "Boys, come over here. Look at this. Look at this." And they climbed up on the counter, and we're sitting, all three of them, sitting up on the counter. And my oldest was saying, "Ethan and Max," I don't know if you remember this or not, you were so young, "there is the head. There is the thorax, there are the blah, 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 blah." And he started talking about the parts of an insect. And my heart broke out in worship. I don't know how to explain. That's so silly, right? It's so silly. But I remember holding that treasure. It was like this picture in my mind, or this video in my mind, of this moment when all three of my sons were together and they were marveling over God's creation together. And Ram was instructing his little brothers on what the parts of the insect were. And they were all in awe. And I was in awe watching it all. And my heart broke out in song. Not literally, my heart. I just remember thinking, it's worth it. All the math meltdowns, it's worth it. This moment is worth it, right? Moms have a unique ability to do that. They have a unique ability to pause and notice the smallest thing and celebrate it. And that's what Mary did here. And it wasn't a small thing, but she stopped. It's like time stood still, and she stopped and she celebrated the greatness of God. That's the heart of a mom. That is the heart of a mom right there. We also see resourcefulness. How many of you moms know you have to be resourceful? I mean, my mother, I would go to the pantry or the cupboard and I would be like, "Mom, there's nothing for dinner." And I would look in the freezer, "There's nothing for dinner." She would say, "Just be patient." And she would create this masterpiece out of nothing. I'm like, how do you do that? I don't know how you do that. Right? She just had an ability to be resourceful. We see this in Mary in Luke 2:6-7. Says, "And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born." Now, just get a picture of this. She's been on the back of a donkey, 9 months pregnant. Respect. "She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger." We've really glorified the word manger. It was a feeding trough for animals. That's resourcefulness, because there was no lodging available then for them. They were probably in a cave, most theologians believe, or some kind of an outbuilding, but more than likely a cave. Resourcefulness. Moms have an ability to take what is and make it into something different and celebrate what is. It's just a beautiful thing. It's like Max and I were talking before service. I'm like, if it's raining, we'll go in the rain. Doesn't matter. We have a history of doing whatever we need to do to make our situation the best that it can be. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's what moms do. They're resourceful. Some of you are thinking right now, and your memories are coming back of your mom, of how resourceful they were. And it might be making you a little sad that you miss her. Celebrate what is. Just celebrate what is, you know. I'm sorry for your pain today. I truly am. But I know this is what I can say about moms. My mom and me and her mom before her, you know. We want to see you celebrate what is rather than mourning over what isn't. It's a big deal. Another thing about the heart of a mom is they are so good at heart memories. I kind of touched on this earlier. In Luke 2:19, we see that the shepherds came and gave gifts or brought worship, and then the wise men came and gave gifts. And this is what it says. This is one of my favorite passages. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. Moms are so good at heart memories. They just have an ability to take something and treasure those memories. Even in deep sadness, they can take and treasure memories. We see it again, and later on, this was when Jesus was at 12 years old, and remember, he stayed behind after the family trip, and he stayed in the temple, and he was actually teaching the Pharisees and the scribes. He was teaching the teachers at 12 years old, right? That's crazy. And Mary and Joseph had to go all the way back and get him. And he goes, don't you know I'm about my father's business? Don't you get it? I thought you got it. I thought you got it. And it says in Luke 2:52, then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Mom's hearts are huge. They're just big, because they have this ability to store all these memories in there. I have so many memories, precious, precious memories with my mom. One of my favorite memories of my mom, this should be an encouragement to you, because this is a weird favorite memory. It's strange. We weren't on vacation. She wasn't making me my favorite meal. One of my favorite memories of my mom is standing at the ironing board and ironing clothes. You know why? Because I remember this look of contentment on her face as she ironed, and that she just was doing it with excellence and joy. That's what I remember. Now, I don't iron. Sorry. You're not going to have that memory, but you'll have others. I use the Downy wrinkle out or whatever it's called, and then I throw it in the dryer. Works like a charm. No iron needed. But I have joy and excellence while I'm doing it. But I have, that is a memory in my heart that I treasure of my mom. Because you know what? She could have been doing it very differently. And then she had those, you know, the old fashioned, some of you are going to remember this and some of you won't. It was before my time, but my mom had it. This bottle, it looked like a Coke bottle, and it had these holes in the top, and you just sprinkle the clothes with it. That was before spray bottles were invented. And so you just sprinkle the clothes, and then she just looked so happy doing it. And I remember I could just talk to her so freely while she was doing that, because she was there and I could just talk to her and she could talk to me. It's a heart memory. It's a treasure in my heart. That's what moms do. They treasure things like that. Mary also had a peaceful boldness. Now, I've seen some moms who had the boldness thing down that wasn't very peaceful. And then I've seen some moms who had the peaceful thing down but wasn't very bold. Mary had this great combination of peaceful boldness. In John 2, 1 through 5, many of you are familiar with this story. It says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to this celebration. Now, stop here for a moment. Later on, it tells us that Jesus had never, before this time, demonstrated his glory before this. Now, I know there are some people who believe when Jesus was a little boy, he made mud doves and then they flew away or something. There's no evidence of that. The scripture says right here, he had never before done a miracle on the earth until this thing, right? That's important to keep in mind because Mary had no basis to believe that he would do what she was asking. But moms believe in their kids way before anybody else does. They just do. The wine supply ran out during the festivity, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, that's not our problem. Jesus replied. I love that so much. I just love that. He said, my time has not yet come. He goes, I love that you believe in me, but now is not the time. Peaceful boldness. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. You see, she had confidence in their relationship and in his ability to do what needed to be done, in spite of the fact that he said, it's not my time yet. Peacefully. She didn't go, excuse me, you are my son and I raised you and I changed your diaper and you will do what I told you to do. She could have. She didn't. That would have been boldness with no peace. That would have been manipulation. She could have said, I can't believe you won't do this little thing for me. All I ask, I work my fingers to the bone. She could have used guilt. She didn't. She could have used control. She didn't. Instead, she just peacefully said to the servants, whatever he says, do it. I love that. I love that so much. Of course, you know the story. He was like, okay, Ma, I gotcha. And he changed water into the best wine that they'd ever had. I think that is the coolest story because we see in Mary the heart of a mom to believe in her son but not manipulate, not control, not to try to force her will or her way. I believe she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you, and I think she walked away. Do whatever he tells you. I'm going over here. I'm going to go mingle with some guests. We just see this peaceful boldness. There have been times in my life as a mom when boldness came out of me that I did not expect. You can say almost anything about me, but you say something about one of my kids and Mama Bear comes out. You know, boldness is like that. But peaceful boldness, what a gift. That is a beautiful gift. If you need that, just ask for it. If God did it through Mary, he can do it through you. If that's what you need, peaceful boldness, ask for it. We also see sacrificial love. One of the things that blows my mind about Mary is that she made a decision to attend the crucifixion. She knew what was coming. Jesus has told his disciples what was going to happen. He most certainly told his mother what to expect. There's no doubt in my mind about that. If he told his disciples, I'm going to be crucified, but don't worry, I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm sure he told his mom. And yet she made a decision to go and be there and watch her son be whipped and tortured and executed. That's sacrificial love. Because see, in the natural, you want to run as far away from that as you can. I don't want to see any of my sons suffer. I don't want to see that. But she made a decision. Why? Why? Because he needed her there. That's why I believe. The thought of not being there was worse than the thought of being there. That's sacrificial love. We know this because, as you probably remember from the story of the Passion Week, John 19:26-27 says, when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. She was there, and then Jesus made provision for her because she was there. That is so beautiful. But that's sacrificial love. There's no way she wanted to witness what she was witnessing. And yet her sacrificial love heart said, "I would rather be there and let him know I'm there and supporting him, even if I have to witness the most horrific thing I could ever comprehend. I want to be there for him." Moms all know about sacrificial love. It can come in little ways, like when your son gets knocked down on the football field and he's gotten the breath knocked out of him. I had to have people hold me back from running out onto the field because I knew it wouldn't be cool. "No, don't go. No, he's fine, right? He's fine." Sacrificial love kept me in the bench. I didn't want him to be embarrassed by his mom running out on the field. "Are you okay?" And that would be bad. Sacrificial love keeps you from saying some things that you really want to say. Sacrificial love causes you to say some things that you really don't want to say. Sacrificial love causes you to get up and take care of a child who's throwing up all night, when every time they throw up, you want to throw up too. That's sacrificial love. It's mopping someone's brow when you're exhausted. It's letting go of a child who passes away. Sacrificial love. That's the heart of a mom. It's putting your own needs aside and stepping up to do what needs to be done. It's putting your own desires aside at times and stepping up. When they're all little, oh my goodness, those of you who have little kids, I know how hard that is. I remember that, two under two. I had three, but two were under two. That was a challenge. I felt like all I did all day was say no, 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 don't touch that, don't touch this, don't fight. All I did all day was say no. In fact, one of my kids called me No-No one time. I told you that. He didn't know my REM. When I went to get him out of his crib one morning, and he was like two, he was like, "No-No." I'm like, "Oh, I'm a terrible mom." Guilt. Mom guilt. Boom. Boom. Right? That's just what it feels like. But he said it with such love and joy. I mean, you got to give me some credit for that. It wasn't like, "Oh, No-No's here." Sacrificial love of a mom. Wow. And then let's not forget, of course we know she went to the site of the tomb to anoint his body, but I didn't go into that, but we know that. But the last one I wanted to share today is that moms have faith that doesn't quit. Moms have faith that doesn't quit. It just doesn't quit. I'll tell you a quick story. I was just visiting with my mom and dad. She had an older brother who walked away from the Lord in his youth. And my grandmother and my grandfather prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for him. And then they passed away, and he was still just in total and utter rebellion. But about 12 years ago, he came back to the Lord fully. And I thought, Papa and Grandma are up in heaven going, "Yeah." All those years of praying for him to return to the Lord. And when he came back full on. He actually just passed away of lung cancer, actually, about 6 or 8 months ago. And I got to watch, while I was at my parents', I got to watch his memorial service on DVD. And person after person after person stood up and talked about how Ray fed the homeless every single day of his life after giving his heart back to Christ. Every single day, he would get up at 5 a.m. and go and collect food from different places and take it to homeless people. He found out one lady needed a three-wheel bike. He went and found a three-wheel bike and got it to her within a week. And I'm like, that's faith that doesn't quit. That's faith that doesn't quit. No matter what you see with your eyes, moms have faith that doesn't quit, just doesn't give up. We see this in Mary because in Acts 1:14, after the resurrection, after all of that, it says they all met together and were constantly united in prayer along with Mary, the mother of Jesus. I am so happy that it specified that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. I don't know, that just does my heart good. Several other women and the brothers of Jesus. She was there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell. Why? Because she had faith that didn't quit. She was like, my son told me this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. I'm there. I'm there. Faith that doesn't quit. It doesn't quit. It might get tired, but it doesn't quit. Right? Mm-hmm. Might get a little weary from time to time, but then moms have a way of digging a little bit deeper, because when their kids are involved, they dig as deep as they need to go. That's what the heart of a mom looks like. So if your mom is still with you, honor her today in some way. I've told my kids so many times, the best thing you can do for me is write out your feelings on paper and give them to me. That means the most to me. It doesn't have to be a Hallmark $4.99 card. Please, don't even waste your money. That's all good, whatever. I want to support Hallmark. I like them. But I'm just saying, if you don't have $5 to buy a card, just put it on paper. Just tell me how you feel and what you see in me. Because I'm telling you, I live off those words for a long time. They encourage me. But maybe your mom's not like that. Maybe she wants fresh flowers. Maybe she wants to go out to dinner to a nice restaurant. I don't know. Whatever makes your mom feel honored and respected, do that today. If your mom is no longer with you, take a few moments with someone you love and talk about how many traits of your mom you respect. In talking about her and honoring her, you're still honoring her even though she's not with you. You see? Just find a way to honor your mom, because all of these traits, humility and trust in God, awe of God's greatness, resourcefulness, heart memories, peaceful boldness, sacrificial love, and faith that doesn't quit. Moms need to hear that stuff sometimes. We give and give and give and give and give, and that's good. That's the way we're wired. But sometimes we need to hear back, right? I'm glad you're here with your mom today. That's so special. That's awesome. Thanks for coming with your mom. I know mom's happy, right? Yep. And all of you are here with your moms. That's really cool that you set aside this day to honor her. God, I thank you for this time that we've had together where we can talk about and think about the heart of a mom. God, I know that you created us uniquely. You created us to want to nurture, to actually get energy from nurturing those around us. And so I pray that you would strengthen those who need strength, encourage those who need encouragement, give hope to those who need hope, comfort for those who mourn. Lord, I just pray that your spirit again would just pour out on every mom in this place in ways that I can't imagine. And God, if there's anyone here who's just desperately wanting to have a child but has not been able to, I pray for healing in their bodies, that they would be able to give birth, that you would open their wombs to be able to give birth, to carry a child full term and give birth. But I also pray that you would comfort them today as they mourn empty arms. I know the pain of that. too, and I just pray that you would bring comfort, that you would fill their arms with your love, Lord Jesus, and bring comfort to them. And I thank you for how much you love us and how much kindness you pour out on us. And bless every moment of the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in peace. Have a great, great week.